Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
We're back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I'm glad you're here. And I'm glad Josh Costell is here, too, ladies and gentlemen. Josh is a longtime member of our Brain Trust. Josh is an entrepreneur. He's been an executive in corporations that other people started. He has been at his own company. He's an inventor. He's the author of The Science of Sales Success. Pretty much a renaissance guy. He's our good friend. Josh, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Jim. Great to be back. Great to be with the audience again.
It's good to have you back, as always. And I know one of the things you want to talk about is something a little bit different than what we often talk about when it comes to customers. One of the things that I'm always after my audience about, and small business owners, and things that I want to remind myself about as well, is making sure that we qualify the people that we're trying to sell, to make sure that they have the maximum opportunity to buy from us. But you have a little bit of a different slant on that, don't you?
Yes, Jim. I think that one of the quickest ways to improve in productivity is if you take a mindset on how do you disqualify. when you're trying to decide which opportunities to pursue, because especially with small business owners that don't often have the same sounding boards, they got to rely on their own instinct. And as we're all aware, it's natural for hope to spring eternal. I remember in my own business that I found that the quality of a sales opportunity was inversely related to how far I got away from it. In other words, when I was in front of the customer, and I'd go, boy, and I just left their parking lot, I'd go, boy, that stunk. I hope he didn't realize what company I was from. And then I'm saying maybe I gave him someone else's business card.
Right.
But yet I get 5 miles away in my car, and I go, he did remember my name. And then I get 10 miles away, and I go, and he did say, if you're ever in the neighborhood, sure, stop by. And then by the time I'm 50 miles away, I go, boy, that was a great opportunity. I bet you I'm going to get it.
So you're saying you remember all the bad stuff first?
Yeah. The important thing about disqualifying is that you always have to remember that not all customers or opportunities are created equal.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is that I think we've been so ingrained in sales philosophy that our goal is to qualify someone, figure out how we can do business with someone, when the fact of the matter is, if you have to try that hard, it often isn't worth the return.
Well, I think you make a good point, and one of the ways I've said this, maybe it's the same thing that you're saying, but I say it the way I've said it in the past, is to make sure that you recognize the difference between a prospect and a suspect.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because when I look at the phone book, it's filled with suspects, and I automatically disqualify all of them as somebody who can do business with me until proven otherwise. Until I prove that they can do business with me, which I do through qualifying.
Right.
And so maybe I hadn't thought, I hadn't thought about it as far as disqualifying as much as just recognizing that everybody that I meet is not a prospect. They're only a suspect.
Exactly. And think about how we've been ingrained. We say, even the phrase that came out, listen for the buy signals. I tell my people, listen for the no buy signals. Listen for the showstopper. And we can talk about that, where if you hear that, you're not going to get the job. And the problem is that when you're only listening for the buy signals, you're not hearing why they're not going to buy from you.
Mm-hmm. Well, Josh, another thing, this might sound a little bit negative, what we're talking about. It might sound a little bit glass half empty kind of thinking. And I remember, Josh, when I was a young salesman pup, you know, when I still had a lot of, still was pretty wet behind the ears, I remember having the attitude that I could turn everybody into a prospect. I could sell everybody. I wasn't going to discriminate against anybody. If they would talk to me, I believed I could figure out a way to help them do business, to get them to do business with me. Well, in the 21st century, that's going to waste you a lot of time, isn't it?
Right, exactly. And you probably can. But if you don't, if you're dealing with customers that aren't really the right fit for you, then even if you do sell them, you're not going to get the value. They're not going to pay you for the value you're bringing. Mm-hmm. And I think that's, you know, what our goal isn't to see if we can turn people that should never buy in from us into buying from us, because it will probably be a commodity type of sell. And as a small business owner, you can't afford to be viewed as a commodity. You know, and the other advantage about trying to disqualify customers is, the one thing I found is that customers, in spite of what we think of, they don't like wasting their time either.
Right.
And normally, the information you'll find out on the 10th sales call, why they're not going to do business with you, you could have found out on the first if you asked.
Right. That's exactly right. Well, and of course, what you're talking about is, even though you're using the word disqualify, what you're talking about is really getting a lot better, a lot more professional, a lot more effective as in sales by understanding the qualifying process and what you're saying. And I keep coming back to this pendulum swing analogy that Kelly Olweiler has talked to us about in the past about our paradoxes. You know, you can't have the good side of us without having the bad side of us. The pendulum swings both ways, and in terms of qualifying prospects, it swings both ways. I mean, you have to. Some people are not going to be prospects, and some are going to be prospects. And you have to realize that in the process, you're going to have to think about them both ways. Are they a prospect or are they not a prospect? And you know, how do I qualify them? And when do I disqualify them? And I think you make a good point. But the key to that, all this, I think, Josh, and when we come back after these messages, I'm going to get you to understand, help us understand it. How do we approach the qualifying process, making sure that we disqualify those who need to be as quickly as possible? How do we approach that without having a negative attitude, without seeing everybody as a non-prospect? We need to make sure we have a positive attitude about it, and I'm going to get you to help us out with that right after these messages. It's 20 till. I'm Jim Blass. I'm sorry, 20 after the hour. I'm on the wrong side of the clock, folks. I'll get around to the right side in a second. 20 after. I'm Jim Blassingame. Stay with us. It's 23 after the hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Josh Costell. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com. I hope you'll check out my website when you get a chance. And don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter, which comes by email on Sunday, and our blog, which we update every weekday. And we'll send it to you if you want to subscribe. Come on over to the website, and you can do that. By real simple syndication, we can show you how to get that technology, which is really cool stuff, by the way, folks, if you want to give that a shot. And also, if you don't want to subscribe, you can just come get it every day. And boy, howdy, have you guys been using our blog this month? It's just, I mean, you've been using it more and more every month, but I can't get over how much you've used it just this month. Every day, it's growing, and so I'm so glad to know that. I'm so glad to know that you're using it. It's helping you, and apparently it's helping you because you sure are using it, and I that makes me very happy when you create something for other people to use to help them to be successful, and then you find out that it is being used. It just makes you have a good feeling, and I bet Josh Costell knows about that, don't you, Josh?
Yeah, it is just great when you can help people.
Well, your book, The Science of Sales Success, I know it's doing selling well. People are using it. If it weren't a great sales book, you wouldn't be talking to me right now on my show. And I mean, I know you're a cool guy, Josh, but you know, we like what you have to say. And so I know you know how I feel. And speaking of which, tell us, give us your website and tell us where the book's available.
Okay, the website is www.measuremax.com. And the books can be found in Barnes & Noble or Amazon.com, various places like that.
All right,
and,
so check.
And Jim, I'm real happy to tell you that excerpts from my book just came out in China CEO. I can't
wow.
tell you what it's about because it's not in English, but I did recognize my name.
Well, how does your picture look in Chinese? That's what I want to know. Hey, Josh, let's get back to qualifying and disqualifying. How do we approach a new business opportunity? And you know, this doesn't have to be just about sales. It could be about a business opportunity, this concept that you've introduced to us today. How do we approach it from the standpoint of most things that we see are not going to be business opportunities? How do we approach it with a disqualifying attitude and still have a positive attitude?
Great question. You know, the key, Jim, is that disqualifying is taking a very positive approach. You're saying, I'm not for everyone, but if certain conditions exist, I know that I can do a measurably better job for that customer than anyone else. And so when I talk about how to work up a disqualified checklist, it's really so you don't waste your time because your time's valuable. You know that you're not for everyone, but the people you are for, you can help better than anyone else. Like what I strongly recommend to the audience is that write down what key things, if they exist, you know you won't get the sale.
Mm-hmm.
So if you hear, for example, if you're talking to the person, they tell you how the decision is going to be made solely by the purchasing department rather than the sales group or the engineering group or the
mm-hmm.
operation,
mm-hmm.
or the decision maker is married to the competitor's sister. You know, I normally don't pursue those either. Yeah, you know, I mean, there's things. Does the opportunity play to the competitor's unique strengths?
Well, for example, I'll give you an example. I was just thinking, as you were talking about that, I was just thinking about our company. After 8.5 years now, we now have a pretty good idea about how we need to acquire a new corporate partner. What it takes for us to get a new corporate partner on board, we have a pretty good understanding about how we need to be introduced to them, which part of the business, which side of the company we need to be talking to. If we come in through one side, we know that that's not that's probably not going to work. But if we come in through the other side, we know that we got a good shot. And so what I guess my point is it's helped me by being able to identify that. It's really helped me to be a lot more effective and a lot less stressful in my prospecting.
Right, and I'm sure, and Jim, you know, I'm sure you have certain criteria that you say this is a green light and this is a red light.
That's exactly
right.
And
even if I hear the red lights and the green lights, I'll weigh it out, but I probably won't do it if these are the absolutes. And, you know, I think about, and I'm sure you've probably gone through the same process, you know, what are a couple of key questions to ask when trying to disqualify opportunities? And I find these two work really well for me. And depending on the answer, really helps me decide whether I can pursue it or not.
All right.
And the first question is, I like to always, when we're in discussing opportunities, I like asking to the prospect or the suspect at that time, will we have the opportunity to explain any price differences?
Hmm. All right.
I know if they
and I'm only got about 30 seconds. What's the second question?
The second one is, besides price, what will be driving your decision?
Mm-hmm.
And if they say no to both of those, then I just say to myself, I'm probably not going to pursue this opportunity.
Would you ask the second question first, or would you always ask it second?
It depends on the flow, but I mm-hmm. see your point. You can probably ask the second one first.
Yeah. Hey, Josh, give us your website again, please.
www.measuremax.com, the science of sales success.
Thank you very much for being here, Josh. We'll see you next time.
Thanks, Jim, and have a great day, you and the audience, and safe travel to everyone.
Josh Costell, ladies and gentlemen. I'm going to take a quick break. I'll be back with Ken Gronbach right after these messages. This show is brought to you by IBM, Office Depot, and Administaff.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.